Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. And here we are again with an old friend. She's not old, but she's an old friend. And her name is Sue. Welcome to the show, Sue.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, you're very welcome. And you'll notice that there's two of us behind the plate here today. And I'm learning what this board is all about. And my friend Jay, who's an old-timer when it comes to this, even though he's a young-timer when it comes to a difference in age here. Welcome, my friend Jay. Welcome back to the land of the living after a kind of a rough road there.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a rough road. It's great to be back. Good to see you, Scott. Good to see you, Sue.
Yeah.
And great to see, you know, Patty. And, you know, it's great to be back here at Whistle FM. I've had a little bit of a rough summer. You know, I was in the hospital for 2.5 weeks, had an emergency stomach surgery. And, you know, from that, I had to be put on kidney dialysis a lot sooner than what I thought. So, so now that's been my routine. Right now it's 4 times a week, but hopefully get it down to 3 times a week.
Yeah, and all the best with that. And folks out there, for anybody with an extra kidney that they'd like to donate, we've got a guy here who just may be a match for you. And I'm sort of half joking, but I'm serious. He does need a kidney, and over time, and I don't know how soon, but he's on dialysis now. As a matter of fact, 4 times a week, which will back up to 3, as he said. And so it's serious enough. And if you know anybody, pass that word around, and you'd be surprised. There are people out there who know they can live on one and would be happy to give one up. His sister did that 20 years ago, and these kidneys run out, and I didn't know that either, but apparently a lot sooner than 20 years. So this fellow's done well with his sisters, but time to move on, and let's get him off dialysis as soon as we can. So as far as sharing the burden and the show goes, Sue, we're working on this making amends, which you know well. When you think of that just off the top, and I know you live, you know, currently sort of thing, you're up to date as you go along, but is there anything, you know, you don't have to tell us what it is, but is there anything you still have to do in that regard in terms of making amends, you know, whether posthumously, you know, in the case of people we've lost and things like that? And I'll give you an idea of mine. I was thinking of my boy this morning, and I always thought, you know, I did everything I could, and I did. But then I happened to think back of when I was a bit of a, you know, bit of a bad boy sort of thing. And when he was really, really young, that's kind of when I was at my peak, you know. So he wouldn't remember that, but the first 2, 3, 4 years of his life, I was quite a, you know, not running around on my wife sort of thing, but running around the countryside and on the road all the time. And I thought, you know what, those fundamental times that I thought were okay really weren't, you know. So I'm thinking, in a sense, I've got to do one of those strange kind of amends, you know, not so much to my boy as to sharing it with now the world, of course, but with someone else, and then, you know, making whatever kind of amend I can, which might be writing a letter to him and that kind of thing, and just sharing it with somebody. So anything left in your past like that at all, or...?
Oh, I think so, most definitely. And because I'm open, I'm mm-hmm. open to being told. I can relate to your situation, right? You know, a lot of the stuff that happened way back when the kids were younger, I hadn't really remembered. And but my son, told me, kind of reminded me, as it was, right? Mm. Because I, too, at that point in time, I was living in chaos. So my actions, my anger, and all the resentment I had, actually, I put it on the kids, really. It came out on the kids in my, you know, I was a disciplinarian anyways. And, a lot of it came out in anger on them. Yeah. I vented it on them, really. And, you know, and it's funny because I've worked on being so open. So I've always wanted to know that past stuff that, you know, it's not readily in your mind because you move on, you know. And, yeah, so because I'm open to whatever they tell me. Like if I, you know, I would ask, like, you know, sort of what happened. And, and I knew I was a kind of a, you know, a hard person on them in many ways. So they were able to, well, one of them was able to, well, actually a couple of them have told me, you know, stuff. And that's okay. That's good for me, right?
Yeah.
So it's an ongoing process. I was thinking about this whole thing this morning. It's not like you go through these 12 steps and after a year you're a completely transformed person. I've been in the program 30 years, so it's, stuff is still coming up really on an ongoing basis. Yeah. I could say that, right? Everything that was brought to my attention, you know, I rectified to the best of my ability.
Perfect.
But then there's stuff that wasn't readily there in my mind type of thing, right? So,
That's interesting. Really interesting because, you know, until you kind of go way back, it sort of feels like it's done, you know.
Yes,
I don't know what twigged me that this morning, but it came out and I thought, you know what, there's some stuff there that I didn't even, you know, I didn't even remember. And, I thought my early time in marriage was not nice, you know, and, certainly wouldn't have been nice for a new kitty. And I mean, he was there for a couple of years before his sister was born. So I don't know what those first 2 years do, however important they are, they certainly would have made a drastic difference in his lifestyle and everything else. So anyway, that's, you know, something to remember. And when you think of that and you're reminded, like by your boy, for instance, you know, probably the one who's living with you now, I would imagine that's what you're saying. And it's a strange feeling though, isn't it? When somebody kind of reminds you and you sense that he might have some truth in there, but I mean, you know, he, like every other person in our lives, you know, they have their faults and so on too. And, and if you're anything like me, as soon as you start hearing things about you that don't sound so good, you can't help but think about the things about them that are really glaring too, you know, rather than just take it and move on in life. And I mean, just you know, automatically, not looking for it, but, I know that's what I think when I think of Sean sometimes, but, it's interesting. And of course this month we're making the amends and last month we made that list. You know, normally if we're doing it this year, if we're making a full inventory and kind of cleaning up our past, then we would have made the list last month. And I found too, even during that time, every time I took a name and really thought about it, what would happen is someone else would come out of the woodwork who was in a similar situation with me. And so it wasn't an isolated one name incident.
No.
It was an incident that was kind of described, and then I had to find the people who I'd, you know, done it to or whatever and put them into the equation. So it was my reason this month or last month for telling people that's why we make a list. It's not, you know, we just say, oh, it's in our heads and we do it. Well, it doesn't work, you know.
No.
It doesn't work. You leave people out. But I don't know. Do you make a list this year?
Most of it is your immediate relationships, like your family, right?
Yeah.
Because you present yourself one way to the outside world, right?
Yeah.
But at home, there's absolute chaos going on, and we're all living in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that sort of hit me this morning was that, you know, 30 years in the program, and here I am, just like you mentioned, there's stuff still coming up. So, It's a program for life, right? It's a way of life.
Yeah.
It's a program for life. Everything actually happens in its own time. And like this step says, we made amends to such people wherever possible. I can remember, like, in my first year, I ran off to do that right away, you know, and it didn't really work because the person, who I'm thinking of sort of didn't really comprehend what was going on or what I was talking about. So I have learned that so long as I am ready, like the previous step says, became willing, which means that I have surrendered my will to the when and how this amends is going to happen then, right? Yeah. And then everything actually happens in its own time. Like we just mentioned, that incident that's actually only happened in this past year, and that's 30 years later with, you know, that person bringing that up, right? So it's about, you know, the willingness mainly, and then the situation will present itself for it to come, or, you know, for it to happen, right? Yeah, that's how I feel anyway.
No, that's neat. It actually, when you say 30 years, you know, it makes me think, so... something, you know, got buried sort of thing from way back. Yet the other side of the other person, in one way or another, has lived with it for 30 years.
Yes.
So
that's right.
You know.
That's right. That's exactly it. Yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah.
So when you think of this whole making amends, I wrote a couple of notes this morning based on that reading that you have in front of you there.
Right.
You know, it says... here's what I got out of it, and it's called Free from Shame, folks. That's in the Life Recovery Devotional this morning. Temptation of more, and, you know, this reflects the story in, supposedly in the Garden of Eden where Eve decided she was going to eat of the forbidden tree and gave some to her husband, and and then the evil one came in to tell them, or beforehand, that it can't really hurt you, sort of thing. But anyway, the temptation of wisdom or godliness or whatever was enough to make Eve take the chance, and then of course spread the word in a sense. But it's the temptation of more something, you know, more wisdom, more, in her case, more, well, mostly wisdom, I guess, but just more. And it's almost like the first time you see people looking for more in them, you know, and then when we think, I did what I thought would harm me, you know, like somebody told me not to do it and I did it. And I sort of knew before I did it that this was not a good thing, but I did it anyway. And it seems to me that from that knowledge that maybe something is bad for me, but I'm going to do it anyway, you know, and then a whole bunch of things happen. Then fear comes in, you know, a new thing, like for this, and since a brand new thing, fear, you know, what is that I'm feeling? You know, it's a strange thing. And then from fear, and making a mistake and being told you made a mistake comes the shame, you know? And so then, I'm shameful. I'm not good enough. That's really what shame means. You know, it's not so much that I failed. It's just I'm not good enough. You know, I'm told what to do. I don't do it. And, you know, then I get frightened and, you know, then I'm reminded of it and I feel horrible shame. And that incident and that shame stays with me probably most of my life until I deal with it, if I can deal with it, you know. So I think it starts out with the knowledge of failure. You know I shouldn't, but I do. You know, and we hear that even from Scripture. Paul talking says, you know, I end up doing what I don't want to do, and I can't stop doing what I know is wrong for me, you know, and I keep doing what's wrong for me. And he says, I can't do anything about it, you know, and he goes off to say eventually, and that's sort of the evil part of me that's in me, and even though I've got the goodness of God in me, there's evil in me too, and I often can't control it. And this is an example, you know, that would be very similar for me. Paul's thorn or whatever it was would be very similar to an addiction or a compulsion or a bad behavior, you know, something that seems uncontrollable once it gets hold, because he obviously, you know, died with that same problem. So I don't know if that twigs anything, Sue, as we're thinking of that. But when you think of shame, and I don't know if you feel shame or not anymore or ever did, but what does it mean to you to feel shame? Like, how do you connect it to things that are happening?
Well, this happened way back. Today, it's more intuition that I don't follow, right? Mm-hmm. Little things will say, no, you know, go left, and I go right. Like stupid little things in my everyday thing, I have an intuition, and I do the opposite, and it doesn't work out, and I go, idiot, you've done the same thing again, right? Mm-hmm. But way back, I did this one particular thing three times. It, like you say, it was just totally ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And after each time, I was so worried that I wouldn't be able, I was more worried that mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to get back to where I was before I did it, i.e. Yeah. my connection yeah. with my higher power.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the temptation to do it, I guess, was so strong. I did that three times, mm-hmm. and each time I got more and more worried that I could never get back. Yeah. You know, it was crazy. I don't know. But I still look at everything as part of my journey. So mm-hmm. I don't dwell on it too much. Okay, I did it. You know, at the time I was worried. But then I always got back because we're loved unconditionally.
Yep.
But I'd been brought up with conditional love. So I thought like, oh my God, this is it. I'm going to be cut off, right?
Yep.
But, no, I was always able to get back. And then eventually that dissipated. I have been, I think, very accepting of myself. I'm made up of good and not so good, of strong mm-hmm. and weaknesses yeah. too. And I don't know, I don't knock myself too much mm-hmm. about the things that aren't so good. I just, okay, you mm-hmm. know, I endeavor yeah. to do a better job next time. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. they're part of me, so I don't let them sort of bring me down to a point where I can't move yeah. forward, right? You know, it's me.
Yep.
I'm human.
Yep.
I make mistakes. Mm-hmm. I make the same stupid mistake sometimes yep. three or four times.
Yep.
But that's part of my humanness. And,
yep.
You know,
that slogan,
just
acceptance.
Just keep going.
yeah.
yeah.
Well, exactly. And that slogan, acceptance, you know, I mean,
yeah.
if we don't accept absolutely everything that comes at us, we get stuck. You know, it doesn't
yes.
matter what it's on. We get stuck, it gets buried, and everything that comes at us, you know, gets filtered through that and every other piece of stuck stuff down in there. And, you know, until we sort of get as pure as we can, when we'll never reach the 100% in any of these categories, I don't think, but as soon as we get close, you know, life's just a lot better. You know,
yeah.
I mean, when we're up to date, when... even it's kind of an aha moment, like thinking about my boy and so on, and you know, knowing that whatever has to be done to the best of my ability will be done, and I'll be cleared of anything that I'm experiencing as a result of that. So that's what I like about the finality of this step, where we not only make an amend, we make sure it's a final amend in that category, you know, to the best of our ability. And the rest is do my best, and everything's fine. I accept. That's it. You know,
yeah.
End of story. So, what about you, Jay? When you think of this making amends, and you know, is there anything left in your life that you've got we call it unfinished business, or
oh, sure, yeah.
you know, people maybe where we've kind of just went astray, said the wrong thing, something. You know, is there anything you need to clear up? And we're not looking for what it is. It's just. Does that kind of fit in your life at all, or are you just such a good, smiley guy all the time and nothing happens to any detriment of anyone's?
No, I think no matter who you are, I think you all, you know, you're always going to have to make amends at some point in your life. So,
yeah.
And yet it's just a matter of, you know, when is the right time to do it? You
yeah.
know, are you, you know, in the right mindset? You know, if you keep thinking about it, then maybe it's time to act upon it. Thinking, you know, it's going to keep bothering you, then better to, and make amends with that person, and you know, say what
yeah.
you got to say, and hopefully it works out. You know, but if it, you know, if it
yeah.
doesn't, then you know, you've said it, you've gone
yeah.
through that process. You may hurt their feelings, or maybe they'll, you know, maybe things will work out that you'll, you
yeah.
know, get along with them. You'll be friends with them.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
You know, I was thinking you've had so many interviews, and you know, things done to you in the hospital and all these different doctors and professionals. There's got to be some of them from time to time, or one or other, who you maybe don't agree with, or
definitely,
or something. You know, because
sure.
I mean, just what you went through in the last month or so. I mean, incredible. You know, and when I think of that, the thought of it, you know, makes me feel kind of ill. You know, for you first, but then it just, you know, kind of going there in my mind with you is a chore, you know, and I can't imagine what you go through, but yeah, to not get a little bit angry at, you know, even what God's doing with you and your life is difficult not to, because, you know, who deserves it all, you know,
right,
if there's
yeah,
such
I'm
a thing.
You know, so. Why is this happening now? Like, I wanted to enjoy, you know, yeah. my summer, and for this to happen in the middle of the summer and having to be in the hospital and dealing with all this, and,
yeah.
you know, I thought I was going to be in the hospital for a week, and I was there for 2.5 weeks. And
yeah.
I thought, you know, what's going on with the doctors? You know, yeah. figure this out and get me better to get me out of here.
yeah.
But maybe there was a reason why I was yeah. in that long. Maybe it was that complicated that, you know, I had to be in there
yeah.
longer. But,
yeah.
you know, I just kind of, yeah. No, I, you know, there's some doctors I wasn't too sure about. You know,
yeah.
I don't know if they were really on
yeah.
the ball with things.
And, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But in the end, I mean, you're here, your color is better than it was when I saw you last before you went in and went through all that stuff.
Oh, for
you know,
sure.
And,
yeah, no, thanks.
And you
there's
just look healthier, you know.
Yeah, things are looking up for sure.
You know, and that's a good sign. And,
yeah.
and the dialysis, as much as, you know, nobody wants to get on it.
Right.
But what a difference when it starts working for you.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, you feel so much better.
Yeah.
You know, it gives you
yeah.
so much energy.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, with that, I think with Jay's help here and, Sue not saying anything, we're going to try and take a break here and be back in about a minute and a half.